It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Zooming in once again, all your counseling these days is through Zoom, through other online methods.
Correct.
Virtual counseling works well, lots of people. And kind of a subject you haven't touched on in a while, I don't think, and that's how to deal with grief. You call life is actually about letting go, which is kind of a bit of a grief subject.
Yeah, so I'm kind of titling this broadcast today, Letting Go. But letting go is grieving. You know, we've talked about grieving sometime in the past, about how that grieving is really, you know, the process of grief for me. The way I look at it is that it's the question, what did I lose and what do I get to keep? So, and in that sense, we're always grieving, whether it be many things. I say life is about letting go of things. Grieving is just another way of talking about letting go, or letting go is another way of talking about grieving. You know, politically, you're always hearing people say, oh, this country's going to pot, you know, the political scene, you know, it used to be so much better. Life used to be so much better. Neighborhoods change. I've heard people talk about the change of neighborhoods that are sometimes uncomfortable. Nothing ever stays the same. We age, friends and loved ones, friends change, move away, move out of town, or we move, loved ones pass away, you know, life, health, our health changes, our wealth changes, our kids grow up and leave home. So many ways of letting go, and it's a constant thing. I think that every day, if you think about the discomfort of a moment, and there are moments during everyone's day when there's discomfort, it can largely be traced to some loss, whether it's a sense of loss of value or loss of control or a loss of livelihood, loss of just sameness. You know, you want things to remain the same and they never do. And so life really is about letting go, and for a reason. You know, we'll find us some scriptures a little later on, but we have to, as I was sharing with a couple, we have to let go, I find. I have to let go of things in this temporal world in order to get hold of things that are eternal. I've often said to others and myself, if you can't say no to yourself, you can't say yes to God. So there's something about having to let go of this world. And of course, the scriptures are full of statements and passages to that effect, which we'll talk some of them. But I was also, as I was sharing this week with certain individuals, impressed with this whole thing of a paradigm shift, which I've mentioned a number of times on the shows in the past, where our focus, it's so natural for our focus to be here on on life on earth here. And to have that kind of, have that focus shift to eternal values sometimes is difficult for us, particularly, I think, here in the West, in the Western Hemisphere, in the Western Church. We have some, I have a family in Pakistan that I know only through virtual media. Never met them, but we've been helping them out a little bit every month for a number of years now. And of course, Pakistan is a place of quite a bit of persecution, and it's not the worst place, but it's one of the worst places. But when you hear of what goes on in Nigeria, and the Christians in Iran, and the Christians in Pakistan, and other countries too, in the Eastern Hemisphere, the life is so much different. And of course, they're letting go daily of things too. But here in the West, I think people struggle with the whole idea of, you know, would God really require
my life?
Me to let go of those kinds of things?
Comfortableness.
comfortableness. We have the, and I think a lot of people that attend various churches wouldn't, there are many who would not consider their church what you would call a prosperity church. But in fact, I think here in the West, prosperity is a big, is an assumption that we have by and large.
Yeah, so much of the church does experience persecution. This is why I've come to be, you know, kind of changing gears here a little bit, but so much teaching about the end of the world and that God's going to rapture us out of here, and I was very much raised in that. But and that might be, that'd be wonderful if that is true, but it kind of creates a lot of Christians who can't really handle any kind of persecution. Like you say, a lot of Christians have deal with persecution daily. And if Western Christians just think, well, God's just going to rapture me out of here before any persecution happens, that's a problem. And it creates
people who aren't very deep
in their faith.
We tend to have a gospel here that doesn't fit very well in the Eastern Hemisphere. That whole idea of life more abundant, I think it's pretty natural for people in the West to look at earthly possessions and think of this is what life more abundant is supposed to be. But if you were to take that gospel of life more abundant life to the Eastern Hemisphere, you know, you'd kind of be sore pressed to find where the abundance is. But the abundance is in a spiritual abundance,
right?
And so that's part of that paradigm shift.
So wrestling with all this stuff then is a source of a lot of depression if you, that's kind of what you deal with, people. You're trying to get people into the real world.
Depression, anxiety, so many things, addictions. Yeah, as I say, it's ubiquitous. We're letting go of something constantly, and we need to get comfortable with it. We need to be okay with that gospel. It's a hard gospel.
Taking up your cross daily. Yeah.
Taking up your cross daily. And in 2 Timothy, I was looking at, you know, and Paul writes to Timothy saying that the day time will come when people won't endure the sound doctrine, but they'll raise up teachers that suit their passions and they'll turn from the truth. And we find ourselves at that time now, where again, you know, I don't think all Christians or many Christians who have prosperity in their life wouldn't think of themselves as embracing the prosperity doctrines. But I think it's an assumption that we have that if you're being blessed material wise, that God is on your side. And if you're not, you must be doing something wrong. And so I find in talking to people a lot that they're not comfortable that they're not comfortable in letting go. And I'm no different. You know, it's a daily process for me too, just as it is for others. I was, we've talked about suffering before, and I wanted to spend a little bit of time again talking about that. Some scriptures came to mind of this kind of hard gospel. You know, Jesus, there's that part of that passage in John, this is sixth chapter, where Jesus had that memorable saying, talking about, If anyone won't eat my flesh and drink my blood, they have no part in me. So this is one of those. In fact, the disciples said that's a hard saying.
That's a hard saying, yeah.
That's a hard saying. And many of his disciples turned from him at that point. And then he spoke directly to the 12 and asked, will you go away too? And I think that's where Peter said, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. What did Jesus mean by that, eating my flesh and drinking my blood? And you could probably preach many sermons about that, but I think from the helicopter view would be, I think in that same passage he talks about that the Son can only does the will of the Father, and then for the Son to do the will of the Father is life to the Son. And then he draws it parallel for us to do the will of Christ is life to us. So I think that eating the flesh and drinking the blood implies not just knowing about Christ, but knowing Christ. Paul speaks about power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and talks about in Colossians 1:24, I think it is, he's talking about kind of a thing that he says is a bit puzzling, talking about filling up the lack of Christ's affliction. And what might that mean? But I think Peter kind of addresses it a bit when in 1 Peter chapter 4, when he talks about how that we also need to suffer. Christ has suffered for us, and he says that we have to put on that same, have that same attitude. And he says that those who have suffered have ceased from sin. And I don't think that means that if you suffer, you'll know, you won't have your addiction, or if you do have an addiction or you do have temptation, you need to suffer. I mean, there may be a tie in there, but I think what he's talking about is sin being just distance from God. And we're back to this idea of letting go of the things, letting go of our comfort level here. Affliction, or somebody used to speak of crucifying yourself with rubber nails. I think that was, remember that?
I don't remember that one. That?
Crucifying yourself with rubber nails. I think that was an old Bob Mumford thing from way back in the day. But or, you know, beating yourself with a wet noodle or something, where we we afflict ourselves superficially in order to prosper. But I think it is a matter of when God speaks to you, and I think that that's often the case, that God is speaking to an individual about letting go of something in his life or her life, or you know, he spoke to his disciples about being willing to leave their families, or you know, if anyone is not willing to leave their father and their mother and their family for my sake, then they have no part of me. That's not a direct quote, but there he mentions something similar to that in the in the Gospels. And of course, the point is not to shut people out and reject people, but he's after the hard attitude. You know, are you willing to focus on those eternal things and the kingdom of God, or are you going to be distracted by these temporal things? Remembering that God gave us our appetites. But he gave us the appetites of the flesh, but he also gave us the law to discipline the flesh. And in doing that, the spirit grows. So it helps us letting go here, and the challenges of letting go here, that's what helps us to more clearly focus on our eternal hope and our eternal purpose. So when we come back, I want to talk about some of the typical responses that we find when we're in those trying times and needing to let go in trying times of grieving.
Okay, letting go. That's what life is all about. Interesting idea here that Daniel is developing. We will continue in a moment. People need help in their life, marital issues, personal issues. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, the phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. Do a lot of counseling and life coaching and all kinds of areas, marriage, addiction, anger, emotions. And so all of it, as you said, Mark, is virtual. And people also contact me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, back in moments with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, and Daniel developing an interesting idea this week, letting go. That's what life is all about, and there is some grieving involved in that. but I think you're going to give some hopeful ideas in this second half of the show today as well.
Yeah, as we said, that letting go, you know, I've often said that if we can't say no to ourselves, we can't say yes to God. Mm. And people that are people that have addictive personalities or addictive behaviors, that's important to know that letting go of that addiction, you can't have both. And I think a lot of times we try to tell ourselves that we can have a little bit of both. We can have a little bit of the kingdom of God, and we can hang on to some of these things. But you know, God will put his finger on things in your life. He's always doing that because we're never through changing. And so he's always putting his finger on something in our life, and we have to let go of those things. There was an illustration given many years ago of a person hanging off of a cliff and hanging on to a root. And someone reaches down or puts a rope down, and the thing is you have to let go of the root to grab onto the rope. And it's a simple analogy, but the application is obviously that there's the kingdom of God that we're called to, and there is you know, all of the spiritual wealth of that, the goodness of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, all those things that are ours, but we can't have both. And so in our lives, there comes a time in every person's life and times in all of our lives when God does put his finger on things in our life. And they can be very, very practical things. We're not talking about putting his finger on sin in our life. Like I said, I was mentioning earlier, my wife and I, when we moved down here, moved out of Washington to where we are now, the house, moving out was difficult because the house was comfortable where we were. Mm-hmm. And I was used to the yard work and used to the way the garage was arranged and used to the way the furniture was arranged. And you know, I think of that as a small thing. Mm-hmm. But the point being that even moving out of that comfort zone, there was a sense of loss. There was a sense of grieving. And so I bring that illustration up just to impress the fact that this is not always or usually, I would say, it's not letting go of a bad habit or a sinful behavior, but just letting go of things in life. And whether it's moving, children growing up,
empty nest,
changing jobs, but we need to become comfortable in that. But there are typically three responses that people have to the discomfort of letting go, the discomfort of change, the discomfort of grieving. And when I say grieving, it's typical to think of grieving as grieving the loss of a loved one. They're talking about grieving the loss of youth, grieving the loss of innocence, grieving the loss of some certain activities, you know.
Regrets, you know, also, yeah.
Regrets, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Things you haven't been able to get done in your life, and life's coming to an end now.
And sometimes friendships change for different reasons. Sometimes people move away, but sometimes friends have falling out, and some of those relationships you can't do. There's little that you can do about it. You can pray for the person, but sometimes relationships end and they just don't. And so there's always grieving for something, a loss of something in life, but God can speak to us in all of that. But there are typically three responses. There's one of regression, there's one of aggression, and there's one of surrender. So I just wanted to go back and touch on each one of those.
Yeah, what do you mean by these?
Yeah, so regression, a lot of times when people are out of their comfort zone for the loss of control, the loss of resources, they tend to, or a sense of value, they tend to withdraw, and their world gets smaller. And we've talked before about the pursuit of value, control, and power. So withdrawing has to do with these kinds of things too. A person might withdraw from relationships. A person might withdraw from challenges. They might experience more depression then. They might withdraw into addictions. Their world gets smaller and it becomes more self-centered and defensive and protective, insecure. They feel insecure. And so they just like our body would if we are hurt, physically hurt, we want to protect that hurting area, cover that hurting area. And when people are spiritually hurt or emotionally hurt, they want to withdraw and protect that emotional area of their life. So we can see our lives getting smaller that way, getting more suspicious of people, less trusting of people, feeling, you know, seen it in extreme cases where people become prisoners in their home. They won't walk out through the neighborhood. They draw the curtains. I'm talking about extreme cases where they become agoraphobic and they won't go out anymore. And that's one of the responses to just loss of value, loss of control in your life. Friendships, and a sense of, a lot of times when people, say, for example, a person has a fairly good job and loses that job. And of course, they know if they're a believer, they know that, well, I need to trust God, but it can be awfully difficult to trust God when the bills are rolling in and it feels like there's not an answer in sight. And so sometimes people could withdraw. We even withdraw from God. You know, the prayer life could dry up, and stop going to church and stop reaching out in that way. So that would be an aggressive or a regressive response. An aggressive response would be to that people become, well, the first thing you think of when you use the term aggression is anger. And so people are like a wounded animal, you know, that's that lashes out. If you get too close, other aspects of aggression are you know, competing, acquiring, achieving, hoarding. Not in the sense of a recluse hoarder, but people just building, having confidence in an estate or acquisitions or again, you know, just wealth. Health, relying on those things, pursuing those things in the place of loss, rather than perhaps looking at God's purpose in that. And I'm trying to think of an example. So an example might be the Lord allows my job to go away, or I might have the plumbing might break in the house, or a car might break down, or something like that. And I might just double down, and rather than maybe seeking God and trying to find some godly perspective on why this is happening, take the life of Job, for example. You know, Job could be a book about a man who lost everything and spent the rest of his life trying to double down and reinvest and kind of play to his advantages and, you know, white knuckle through it and, you know, acquire more prosperity. But it was this book about a man trying to understand the suffering and what God was trying to say in that. And then the third one would be
the better response.
Surrender.
Yeah.
It would be a right response. And the surrender is exactly what I'm talking about, you know, getting our eyes off of the loss and getting them onto not what we're losing, not what we're having to let go of, but getting our eyes onto what we can cling on to. And so that would be yielding. We're talking primarily our relationship with God, yielding to what God's doing in our life. There is a scripture that says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I think we need to consider that sometimes, and yielding, trusting, embracing, and that leads to serving. We're not so self-centered, we're other-centered. So obviously I'm describing something that seems somewhat idealistic, but it shouldn't seem that way. I think it seems idealistic because we're so prone to, you know, double down, hyper focus on the things that we're losing or the things that are being touched, And rather than stepping back and saying, am I focusing on the eternal things? Am I putting too much emphasis on the things, on the changes, on the loss, and not enough emphasis on the gain? And so letting go is what life is about. And we let go things in this world primarily so that we can grab onto those eternal things. And so that's what I do a lot see a lot in counseling. It can seem like in counseling, there's a lot of aspects to life, but it actually is quite simple. You could boil it down to a few of these kinds of things. Life is about letting go. This life on this earth, it's about learning to focus on the eternal things. Scripture talks about laying up treasures in heaven and seeking first the kingdom of God and those kinds of things. And so all of these mental issues are actually spiritual issues. So that's kind of what I wanted to impress people with.
That sounds like godly counsel. You are the Bible-based counselor. People need help with this issue or any other. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. It is all virtual counseling. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where these radio shows are available in the podcast.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.